recording, Kiefer?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll start again. Good morning. It's 8:35 on Wednesday, April the 16th. I now call this meeting to order. Please turn off or mute your electronic devices. Victoria, would you please do the roll call?
Dr. Byrne? Ms. Frost? Absent. Dr. James?
Here.
Dr. Nosley?
Here.
Ms. Solomon?
Here.
Dr. Thompson?
Here.
Dr. Wright?
Here.
Thank you. You have quorum.
Thank you. I will now read the mission of this board. The Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board protects the health, safety, and welfare of the general public, as well as the welfare of animals, by enforcing the licensing standards prescribed by statute for the licensing and regulation of veterinarians, veterinary technicians, veterinary premises, and animal crematories. I've been informed by staff that we only have until 11:30 to conduct all our business, at which time we will no longer have a quorum. So we will be moving quickly, and I ask that you keep any comments brief and to the point. We'll now begin with the initial investigative reviews, and we're going to start with case number 2552. Dr. Leslie Ash. And Tracy, would you please read us the summary for case 2552?
Yes, case 2552, the complainant is Joseph Delisle and Teresa Parson. The respondent is 2024 Taco, an 8-year-old intact male chihuahua, was presented to respondent due to straining to eliminate. Respondent examined the dog, and an abdominal ultrasound was consistent with sediment and crystals in the moderately full bladder. There was no evidence of urinary infection at that time. A urinalysis was performed, and the urine was cultured. An elevated glucose was incidentally found. Respondent prescribed antibiotics and a urinary diet. At discharge, respondent went over the findings and recommended having the dog rechecked if the symptoms persisted or worsened. She also recommended following up with the elevated glucose levels with the primary care veterinarian. On August 8, 2024, the dog presented to Sun Valley Hope Animal Hospital unresponsive. CPR was initiated and the dog was revived. After diagnostics and treatments, a urinary obstruction was present that could not be relieved. After much discussion, complainants elected to euthanize the dog. Complainants expressed concerns that the respondent misdiagnosed the dog. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Thank you, Tracy. Dr. James, you are the lead on case 2552.
Yes, yeah, so do we have anyone present there for this case?
Yes, there is the complainant here.
I think.
The complainant here.
You have my sheet, do you not?
So, yeah, the complainant.
Is this over here?
And she did stall the hearing on behalf of the respondent,
yeah.
Dr. Ash, monitoring all of us.
That's Kiefer's.
Okay.
Okie doke, great. Okay, respondent is here, Dr. Leslie Ash.
Through counsel.
Through counsel only, okay. Would counsel like to speak?
Monitoring only.
Monitoring only, okay. The complainant. Dr. Joseph, and please forgive me if I mispronounce the last name, Delix, and Teresa Parson, if you would like to come forward.
Good
Okay, I will allow each of you 5 minutes to speak. Please be direct and to the point. We have all the previous information you've submitted and your testimony from the investigative committee. So if you have anything additional you want to add or emphasize, please do. You have 5 minutes each.
You know, ma'am, I'm not as eloquent as most. I just simply, I'm trying to find out what happened to Taco. I was told and followed the treatment plan, and he didn't improve. So we brought him back in, and you know what transpired. I don't want anyone's license taken or suspended or something like that. I'm sure Dr. Ash is a fine physician. But we go home every night and we don't have Taco. And I want to know what happened to him. To me, treating a urinary tract infection with the antibiotics as I was told and prescribed, and we had scheduled the follow-up, but he didn't make it to the follow-up. And to have an obstruction or a kidney stone, I don't know how the two are combined, or maybe I just don't understand. But my dog, as they stated, was, I don't know how to say it. He was very weak. I don't think he would have survived the surgery. My sister made the decision. I just want acknowledgement and accountability for my dog. That's all. I'm not looking to, please forgive my statement, but hang someone out to dry. That's not my objective. But, you know, Taco was an extension of our family. And I understand mistakes happen, but we love that little dog. And he's not with us anymore. And this board is here to put in protocols. If a mistake was made, you're the people that make these things happen and bring accountability to the table. And I'm not blaming Dr. Ash per se. I'm just saying, did I miss something? Did we miss something? That's all.
Does your sister have anything she would like to add?
From what I was, I haven't heard this vet tech, and I took Taco over there to her that night. It was the next night, and she told, she tried to put her finger up in his prostate, and she said there was a total blockage there. She said, when I put him down on the ground to walk, she said, that's not a urinary tract. She said, he has prostate problems. That's what he's got. He's got prostate problems. So I didn't have money to take him back to the vet. So she's just telling me this is what I need to do for him, you know? And so I started to take care of him that way, but it didn't work. But we were still giving him the medication for whatever she diagnosed him with. And he wasn't getting any better at all. He was just getting worse. And so I finally, my friend came over and I said, look, we got to take him to the vet. We have to take him. He can't, you know, he can't keep doing this. So we took him to the Hope. And right when I got there, he started puking poop out of his mouth. And right when I grabbed the doorknob, he died. And I went running in there. And one of the vets grabbed him out of my arms, took me to the back, and they brought him back to life. And then they told me that they could probably, you know, it cost anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 to keep him alive. Because by then it was just too late for him. So I made the decision to go ahead and put him down.
I'm sorry for your loss of Taco. Dr. James, you're the lead on this item.
Yes, good morning, and thank you both for being there and sharing the information that you have. I am incredibly sorry for your loss of Taco. It's never easy, and so anytime we go through something like this, I think we naturally want to get to the answers in order to help us cope with what happened. So I do appreciate your involvement and being here. I have reviewed the records that have been submitted in the testimony, and you know, ultimately, this came down to a case where we had an older dog that had a urinary tract infection or sediment crystals, according to the exam notes. The pet was treated appropriately from the records that I have and from what I've reviewed on the August 2nd visit. I think there were good details in the discharge instructions as to what to watch for, and I think from hearing from the owners, we had that. We had owners that were paying attention and watching, but unfortunately, this case did ultimately have a blockage, and that's what caused the demise. I think it's hard to go back and say exactly did we miss something or not. I think the owners clearly were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and it can be challenging in these cases. So while I don't think there was a blockage there on the second, that wouldn't, timing-wise, wouldn't make sense that there was a blockage on the second and we got to the eighth. But I do think things were progressing, and so ultimately this, you know, the dog ended up having more issues. I didn't see anything in the medical records that from the visit on the second that was concerning to me. I will let other committee members kind of talk through what they saw and if there was anything that they saw, but at this point I didn't see anything there.
Do any board members have any comments?
Yeah, my concern in this case, I think it comes down to the discharge on the second. Because what was occurring was calcium oxalate crystals forming a urolith, and then that ultimately ending up in the urethra and causing the blockage. And so when Taco was discharged, the discharge does state to make sure he's urinating. And it, from listening to everything and reading, it seems to be there's a difference, a not understanding that we need to monitor him to make sure he's urinating. And there's a difference between straining to urinate, as you would with a UTI, and not being able to urinate. And I would have liked to see more emphasis on that discharge to make sure Taco is urinating. Not straining, that he's producing urine, because it's obvious that he was not. And I would agree that these owners would have done it if they had the understanding that Taco's not urinating, so they told us he needs to come back in, but I don't think they really had that understanding. And we're just straining, UTI, okay, we're going to see how the medication, and he had actually had a negative culture, so we were giving antibiotics, and they weren't the problem. The problems were these crystals. The other thing is, they only did a scan of the bladder, which is fine, but you need radiographs to visualize the urethra in a male dog, and that was not done. I'm not saying you have to do that in every case, because he was at this point producing urine. But the fast scan of the bladder would not be helpful in seeing that uroliths were forming in the urethra. Someone in this case, either the staff or the owner, needed to observe this dog producing urine, and he wasn't. So the bottom line is he became obstructed and needed emergency care as soon as possible. And that was delayed for a period of time. So that's my concern. Was it a communication error that we did not emphasize the fact producing urine?
Well, it actually, in the discharge, it says strain to urinate or defecate, especially if non-productive.
Right.
So it does say in the discharge instructions.
I agree.
That if this is why you need to contact us immediately, right?
So it's in the discharge.
It's in the discharge. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with your comments, right? You need an X-ray to look, but at that time we had a dog who was straining to urinate and.
But he was producing.
But producing.
Yeah.
And I think, it sounds like there's some confusion as to, why we blocked. And the sediment that was seen in the bladder can lead to stones, in which, in this case, that is what happened. The stones were produced and blocked the passage of urine out of the bladder and out of the body. If we look at our treatment plan, yes, we used antibiotics because we weren't entirely sure if we had a urinary tract infection, which is not uncommon. But we also used a dissolving diet as well, a dissolution diet. So we were kind of covering both bases. Mm-hmm. It was just unfortunate in this case that there was a stone that did make its way into the urethra and cause an entire block.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and I would add to that, like, we don't know when that occurred, like how between the second and the eighth. And then when I look at the discharge instructions, I mean, it's always different looking back and saying, could we have been more clear? But when I look at it, it definitely says monitoring for straining or inability to urinate. Please call if this occurs. And then even down in the signs, it says straining to urinate, especially if non-productive. So I guess in my mind, there were at least twice in the discharge instructions it was stated, and how well that was clarified verbally, because I do think we need to explain that. Like, I think it's different for an owner to understand straining to urinate from not urinating. I don't know how well that was explained, but I do see it in the discharge instructions that was in there. So I just, I just want to call that out that we, we often go on what's in the written record, and sometimes the verbal communication could have been better. So I can't judge that, but I do see it in the discharge instructions.
Okay. The chair would entertain a motion from the league.
All right. So in the case of 2552, I would make a motion that we support the findings of the investigative committee and find no violations of the Practice Act or rules.
Second.
There's a set motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It sounds like it's unanimous, all five. So this action, this case, 2552, will be dismissed with no violation. And again, sir and ma'am, we're sorry for your loss of time.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, next case we will be hearing is 2554, Dr. Wendy Hancock, and the complaint, okay, the respondent is not here, not monitoring, no counsel. Okay, so we have the complainants, please step forward.
Tracy, can you go ahead
and have a seat. Tracy, will you please give us a summary?
Yes, page 2554. The complainant is Heather and Sherry Schaefer, and the respondent is Wendy Hancock, medium. On October 16, 2024, Rolette, a 5-year-old female English bulldog, was presented to respondent for evaluation. The dog was lethargic and passing bloody diarrhea. Respondent noted that the dog had weight loss and a painful abdomen, therefore recommended hospitalization for diagnostics and treatment. Complainant declined. IV fluids and pain management were approved. Due to the dog's temperament, a brachycephalic muzzle was placed. When treatments were being provided, complainant requested radiographs be performed. Staff discontinued administering fluids. Prior to transferring the dog to radiology, the dog collapsed. CPR was performed, naloxone was administered, but the dog was unable to be resuscitated. And the committee concluded the possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board find ARS 3220-3218 as it relates to R311-5019 for altering medical records concerning the treatment of the dog. And the motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Thank you, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Do the complainants have any comments they would like to make? And you have up to 5 minutes each.
So I'm Heather. I'm the owner. This is super very difficult for me to be here. The whole thing never made any sense. My mother brought my Rolex to the vet. I said I just want her to be looked at and, you know, come home with my mother. And I get a phone call at work, and I got there as soon as I could, and she was already passed. Wendy had administered a pain shot to Rolex with no permission from me, no verbal, no written. My mother is not a signer on Rolex's account. I get there and my dog's dead. I didn't give her any permission to inject my dog with anything, and later I find out that everything didn't make sense in the paperwork, and that pretty much sums it up.
So I was there as well, yes. And I don't know about the bloody diarrhea. We never saw any of that. She was having stomach issues where we could tell she's not going to the bathroom properly, but she was perfectly fine. 5-year-old dog running. She jumped up on grandma's lap, jumped up on the scale, and they said, we're going to give her a shot to calm her down. And as soon as they gave her that shot, she falls over and it's cardiac arrest. And then they try. So that's our understanding. Our dog was perfectly fine. A 5-year-old healthy girl. And then we find out there's some misinformation in the what they reported versus. So, you know, we just know something is not right here. Something, our dog was killed is how we feel. And because she was healthy, she was jumping, she just had
she got out of the car stool. Fine, she got on the
no
scale
blood.
Fine.
Didn't know, in the first hearing, they said something about a scorpion being present. There was never a scorpion. I don't know, you know, there's things that just didn't add up in what was in the paperwork at all. So, that's...
Sorry for your loss of Rolex. Please step back.
Madam Chair, may I ask you both to state your name for the record?
I'm Heather Schaefer.
Jason Buchtel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yes, in reviewing the records on this case, it is a bit frustrating to not have any input from the doctor on this case. To know, you know, it, at first glance, to give an injection of buprenorphine, it was well within the safety dose for a dog of this size. And so you know, you just have a lot of questions. Like, it doesn't quite make sense how this injection would cause that type of reaction. And, you know, it's hard. I can't imagine being in that situation as either the vet or the owner of this pet. And to have that type of, you know, here we have a pet that is now deceased. I feel like I have questions for the doctor, and it's hard to make a ruling on this case without actually questioning the doctor. Obviously, the investigative committee did note the medical records, which is definitely in violation, but, you know, I feel like we should probably move this to an informal to get more questions for the doctor.
I agree. We need more detail regarding this muzzle, timing, exactly what happened. We need to hear what happened. I've got many questions, as you do, so yeah. I would support.
Is that the form of a motion,
Dr. Thompson? That is a motion to move to
Dr. Nosley, are you seconding?
Sure, second.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor of moving this to informal?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Aye.
Okay, this case is now moved to an informal hearing, and staff will advise you of when, of what that process will be. Okay, now we go back up to the top of the agenda for the IIRs, which are the initial investigative reviews. And we will, so we'll go back up to case number one, item number one, case number 2546, Dr. Jacob Graffenried. And there is no, Dr. Stoll. Mr. Stoll, are you monitoring or representing?
Monitoring only. Okay. I'm representing it, but monitoring only.
Okay. Okie doke. Thank you. Okay. Tracy, would you like to give us a summary of this case?
Yes. Case 2546. The complainant is Chris Morris. The respondent is Jacob DeGraffrey, DVM. On October 6, 2023, Baxter, a 7-year-old male Beagle Corgi mix, was presented to respondent's premises for vaccinations. During the exam, the veterinarian noted a heart murmur and recommended thoracic radiographs. Complainant approved. Dog was vaccinated away from the pet owner, and the chest x-ray was taken prior to the dog returning to the exam room. Upon returning the dog to complainant, complainant was told the staff had difficulty getting the dog to cooperate for the radiograph. Complainant reported that the dog began to lose the use of his back legs after arriving home. The premises was called. The pet owner was advised to wait 24 hours. The following day, the dog did not improve, which was reported to the premises. Premises staff advised complainant to take the dog to an emergency facility. On October 7, 2023, the dog was presented to two different emergency facilities. Both times, the veterinarian suspected IVDD and referred the dog to a neurologist. Hospitalization was also recommended. Complainant elected palliative care and took the dog home. On October 27, 2023, the dog was humanely euthanized. Respondent is the responsible veterinarian for the premises. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay, it's my understanding there is no respondent. Thank you, Tracy. Or complainant present, and Mr. Stoll is monitoring. So the lead on this case is Dr. Wright.
All right, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm just opening this one. That's 46?
Yes, 2546. Dr. Jacob DeGraffenried.
Okay, there you go. I'm done. Yeah, so going after and reading all this thing that's going on, this appears to be, more of the respondent veterinarian issue here. So based on that, based on what I'm speaking here, I make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Can you make that like great, louder? That's thanks. Thank you, Kiefer. Okay, is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Dr. Nosley seconds Dr. Wright's motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Nobody opposed? Great. Motion passes 5-0.
Make one comment in this case? I just wonder, like, this case was filed against a responsible veterinarian, and as I look at the case, you know, if I was finding anything there, it would be around how the dog was restrained and probably communication with the pet owner, which we don't even know really happened. But does anyone have concern that the veterinarian that was responsible the day of would be involved here?
Yeah, I have, excuse me, that same concern, but I believe I heard the complainant didn't really have an understanding of who he was making the complaint against. So I think from what I heard is he now understands and is going to look at making another complaint.
So
is what I understood. And so I agree with you. Otherwise, it might be, we might as a board want to open a case, but I believe that the complainant is on that pathway.
Okay.
Dr. Nosley, members of the board, I had not heard from the complainant to confirm that he was going to file another complaint, but if the board had concerns, you certainly could open an investigation on your own.
Okay.
Chair would entertain a motion for to open a case against the responsible veterinarian who is...
I would make a motion to open a case against the doctor who saw the patient.
Yeah, so we can look into this and, and learn about this restraint and what happened. I think that I'm surprised the complainant hasn't done that, and I would agree. I would second that.
Okay. So,
and let me confirm the doctor's name here.
Dr.
Doerr?
Yes.
Can you spell that, please?
That is Michelle Doerr, D-O-U-G-H-E-R.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so the motion has been made and seconded by Dr. Nosler.
Yeah. Okay.
And to open a case, for the board to open a case against the responsible veterinarian,
the doctor who treated the patient.
Oh, this is the doctor.
Yeah,
okay.
The attending doctor, not the responsible veterinarian.
Gotcha, thank you. The attending doctor. Doerr. So all those in favor of opening a case against the treating veterinarian, Dr. Doerr, please state aye.
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 Dr. James?
Aye.
Okay, that passes unanimously. Okay, and we have the dismissed with no violation on case 2546, which the board already approved. Okie doke, we will now move to case number 2547. There is, Tracy, can you read us the summary of the case, please?
Yes, so case, let's see here, 2547. And the complainant is Daryl Jimmy Passy. The respondent is Alexander Beveridge, DVM. On July 30th, 2024, Windsor, an 11-year-old, 9-month-old male, Karen Terrier, was presented to respondent to have his tooth brushed and nails trimmed under sedation. The dog was sedated, the teeth were brushed, and the nails were trimmed. When the rotary tool that was applied to the dog's nails, a portion of the dog's long hair was cut from the rotary tool and tore a patch of the dog's hair out. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue as no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Thank you, Tracy. It's my understanding we have no respondent or complainant present.
David Stoll appearing for the respondent, monitoring only.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and the lead on this case is Dr. Wright.
Yes, that is me again, thank you so much. So going through and reading everything here, it's just kind of one of those unfortunate situations where we're doing a grooming and there was a complication and some hair got caught up in the dremel. It's an aggressive dog, so they had to sedate for this. The reason you sedate is that these kinds of things don't typically happen. It kind of decreases the risk of that kind of stuff happening, yet we still had fur getting caught up in the dremel and getting ripped out. The skin itself, I mean, not a major wound, not a major problem after that, but still just kind of a concern that it happened. But did that raise to a level of violation? No, but I'm just a little worried how, that's not the right word, but as we were moving the Dremel away, it got caught up in the fur. The dog was already sedated. Were we quite paying attention enough for that to not happen? So, I mean, that's a little concern to me. I don't think that raises to a level of violation. I don't know if that's a letter of concern for anybody, but yeah, it's just, we said basically things don't happen that still happen. It's an unfortunate thing. I think the aftercare and everything was taken care of. I just want to make sure it's not just a flippant thing where we just don't think about it in the future. So that's my only concern there. But overall, I agree with the IC. I just didn't know if anybody else had concerns about it.
Is that your motion, Dr. Wright?
Unless anybody else has any other concerns that they wanted to bring up, like the dates of these things don't typically happen, and it still happened. I just want to make sure it kind of nailed home that, hey, pay attention to where the Dremel is, because something spinning can cause problems.
Sure.
But again, I don't see that as a violation. I didn't know if anybody else had any letter of concern issues or not.
Okay. Do the board members have any comments? The board members have no other comments, so do you wish to make a motion?
Okay. I do wish to make a motion, so I'll make a motion to dismiss with no violation in the case of 2547.
Second.
Okay, that's been seconded by both Dr. Thompson and Dr. James. And I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those, okay, that's all five. So there are no nay votes. Yes.
It's probably best to just call nays just in case, because we have people on.
Okay.
Just to be sure.
Okay. Okie doke. So we are now on to case 2547. Dr. Robinson is not here, correct?
Can we wait on Dr. Robinson? He's been calling me, and I haven't had a chance to see what his message is, but if we could just skip over that one.
Okay, we will.
Thank you.
Then I would skip the next one, too, because they're kind of the same.
Two packs, Great, thank you, Dr. James. Okay, we'll now move to item number five. Case number 2550, Dr. Jennifer Kress. Tracy, can you please read us the summary?
Yeah, and case 2551 is related to this case as well. It's the same complainant, and it's the same incident. So we can do separately if you'd like, though. So case 2550, the complainant is Margaret Walden and the respondent is Jennifer Kress, BVM.
Yes.
On September 5th, 2024, Sissy, a 15-plus-year-old German short hair mix, was presented to Dr. Kress for quality of life evaluation. Dr. Kress examined the dog and noted the dog was neurologically inappropriate. She had a lengthy discussion with complainant regarding the dog's quality of life. Diagnostics and treatment options were also considered. Complainant declined treatment and elected to humanely euthanize the dog. Staff placed an IV catheter and the dog was administered buprenorphine, and azithromycin IV. Dr. Kress then administered the dog propofol and euthanasia solution IV while the staff supported the dog. Complainant expressed concerns that the dog was not sedated prior to IV catheter placement. She was not advised on what to expect on the euthanasia process, and she did not sign consent to euthanize the pet until after the dog had been euthanized. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred and was moved and seconded that the board find ARS 3622.12 as it relates to ARS 11502F, failure to obtain signed authorization to euthanize the dog before the animal was euthanized or have the verbal authorization witnessed by one other person prior to euthanizing the dog. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Okay, and Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Mr. Stoll is here. Mr. has a statement to read on behalf of the respondent.
Oh, you absolutely. I'm sorry.
No problem. Thank you. Dr. Kress could not be here today, but asked that I read this statement on her behalf. As always, I thank you for giving me this opportunity to address the investigative committee's concern. While Dr. Kress is pleased that the committee had no issues regarding the medical care she provided for Sissy, a 14-year-old German Shepherd mix, they did reference a concern about the euthanasia authorization consent form that was signed by the complainant. Here's the history that led to the owner signing that form. Sissy presented to Dr. Kress on April 9th, and after 2024, and after Dr. Kress performed an exam and provided appropriate medical care, the complainant broached the subject of Sissy's quality of life and indicated to Dr. Kress that she was considering humane euthanasia. Sissy returned to the practice later that month on April 24th, and was again, at that time, was seen by Dr. Kress's colleague, Dr. Kelly Shamaw. The complainant then scheduled a euthanasia appointment for September 5th, 2024. However, when she arrived with Sissy, she was struggling with her decision, which is understandable, as that is the hardest decision a pet owner has to make. To help with the decision, Dr. Kress offered the complainant a quality of life checklist that the practice has that has been very helpful with other clients struggling to make a difficult decision. The complainant declined the checklist and then had a very frank conversation with Dr. Kress about the quality of her own life, how she felt like she couldn't leave the house or carry on with her normal activities because the dog had dementia and was in declining health. By the end of that conversation, Ms. Walden, the complainant, unequivocally authorized Dr. Kress to humanely euthanize Sissy. In her complaint, Ms. Walden does not dispute that she authorized the euthanasia and that she signed a standard authorization to perform euthanasia form. And that is attached as page 35 to Dr. Kress's response. It's in the medical record. Unfortunately, in the practice's effort to timely honor the owner's request that Sissy be euthanized, one of the technicians failed to follow practice protocol by having the owner sign the form prior to the procedure. It was signed by the owner afterwards. Since this incident, the practice has reviewed the applicable regulation R311-502F with their staff and reinforced the importance that the consent form be signed before, not after the procedure, to minimize the possibility of this happening again. In light of this corrective action, and given the fact that the signing of the form and authorization is not in dispute, we ask that the board dismiss this complaint with no violation, or at most issue a letter of concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stoll. Again, there's other than Mr. Stoll, there's no complainant or respondent. And Dr. Thompson?
Yes. Yes. So in reviewing the notes of the case, I just wanted to mention a couple of things because I know that the complainant had some concerns about the number of injections and has never encountered this in previous times that she's had pets euthanized. And her concern was about the catheter placement and sedation. And I would say that that's actually commonplace to do those things. Yes, you can perform a euthanasia without placing an IV catheter, but it is a common procedure to do to ensure that the process goes more smoothly. In reviewing these are difficult cases. Anytime that you're speaking with an owner about euthanasia and quality of life, it is a decision that you cannot reverse. And so you want to make sure that you have gone over everything with them. It is hard because this was a deviation of their normal protocol and things happen, but it still is a violation. And so therefore I would make a motion to agree with the investigative committee's recommendation and find violation.
So I just have one question. I don't know for other committee members if you were able to find it in there or if I missed it in Mr. Stoll's statement, but it sounded like the veterinarian had verbal authorization, and I wasn't clear if a technician was in the room at that time that would have amounted to the second verbal, or if it was just the veterinarian.
It was just the veterinarian that was present at that time. So unfortunately, there was not a witness to that verbal consent.
Dr. Thompson made a motion to find a violation, to concur with the the investigative committee's report and find violation ARS 32-22-32-12 as it relates to AAC R311-502F failure to obtain signed authorization to euthanize the dog before the animal was euthanized or have verbal authorization witnessed by one other person prior to euthanizing the dog. We can go ahead and vote on this motion. Sorry, Dr. Jensen.
I would just, sorry,
it's hard to find the time to say that when you're on the phone. Sorry yeah. about that.
That's all right. I understand.
I would just wonder in this case, I mean, obviously it wasn't done before, but I think we heard that that was not normal protocol and certainly a timing issue on their behalf with trying to get this done in a timely manner for the owner and the technician. And I don't think there was any doubt that we had approval, and I don't think that that was the owner's complaint, at least from how I read the complaint. And then I would also say, you know, it sounded like the other things were all done appropriately. And I'm just wondering in this case, because if a letter of concern would be more appropriate, just because I really feel like we did have approval and the form was ultimately signed. It wasn't like it didn't get signed. It was signed. So I feel like it was more of a technicality, you know, operational issue. So I just wonder, I don't know what others think on that, but I kind of feel like to me this was also more of a letter of concern, but open to whatever.
Dr. Thompson, in the complaint, I believe that was part of the complaint.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That she said, I was presented with...
After, right, yes.
So it was...
No, I think she brought it up in the complaint, but I don't think that she was trying to say she didn't give authorization.
Oh, don't agree with that.
I think she was, the owner was very aware that she was authorizing this, but it did come up in the complaint that it was done after.
Right.
Right. And it wasn't witnessed if she gave verbal authorization, which the administrative rules require both. Either or, I should say. So we have a motion to find a violation. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Okay, all those in favor?
So for disciplinary action, we should do a roll call?
It is a roll call?
For disciplinary action.
Yeah, it's a consent agreement.
Oh, that'll come next, okay. Right?
Yeah, but yeah. We need a roll
okay.
call
okay.
because of that.
Okay. Okay. Victoria, will you please call the roll?
Sure. Dr. James?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
I'm pausing. I'm sorry.
Aye. And Dr. Wright?
Aye.
All those opposed, please say nay.
So motion. So we did roll call.
Okay,
motion,
that's right. So we don't need to ask for the nays. We had one nay. That's correct, Dr. James. Okay. So the motion passes 4-1 to find a violation. Next, do we move? Want to offer a consent agreement or?
Yes, we have to offer a consent agreement. And so we would like to find the move to admit the findings of fact and conclusions of law from the investigative committee.
Second.
Roll call.
We need a second. Oh,
sorry, second.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So now it's a roll call because we're talking consent agreement, correct?
Yeah, we just adopted.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what was in that consent agreement. It was mumbled, so if we can repeat that before our vote.
Sure. Dr. Wright, it was just to adopt the investigative report's findings of facts and conclusions of law at this point.
Great, thank you.
So we're going to do roll call again.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dr. James?
Yes?
Yes. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson? Aye. Dr. Ray?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay.
Are there other any priors, Tracy?
No priors.
I would propose a probation for 6 months and continuing education on... This is a difficult one because it was a.
Yeah, would ethics cover that?
Ethics or client communication? Client
yeah.
communication. Three CE hours on client communication.
Three CE client communication. 6 months probation. Any civil penalty?
A year probation.
A year probation. Okay. Any civil penalty?
No.
And if not signed within 30 days, goes to informal.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. We need another roll call.
We need a second.
Oh, we need a second.
Dr. James?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes that case.
And we've got 2551.
Yes. Dr. Kelly Chemerel. Again, this is the same complainant, basically the same case, is it not?
Yes, it is. And in this case, looking through the notes, she was not involved with the euthanasia, and that was the primary complaint. So I would move to dismiss this case.
Second.
All those in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Members of the board, I'll just
confirm
that the investigative committee, this was the same case, 2551.
Yes, that's why, yeah.
It was Margaret Walden and the Department of Kelly General.
Yes.
And the committee did make the recommendation to dismiss with no violation. Okay,
thank you.
And so you're agreeing with their decision.
So it was the same as the...
The front row was the same.
Yes, because the previous one they found a violation. Okay. So with that case number 2551 regarding Dr. Kelly Chemerel is dismissed with no violation. Okay, well now...
And members of the board, just circle back from Dr. Robinson. He is stuck in traffic, so I don't have an ETA for him at this time. So if he just want, I believe he's still on his way, however.
Well... Well, we'll see how the rest of the agenda goes, but he may end up being pended to next month. Okay, next item. Thank you for the update, though, Tracy. Next item is item number 9, which is case 2557 regarding Dr. Dwight Benesch. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Case 2557. The complainant is Everett West. The respondent is Dwight Benesch, DVM. On June 29, 2024, Cookie, a 9-year-old female Jack Russell Terrier mix, was presented to an emergency facility after being bit by a dog. The wound on the dog's right side was sutured and closed, and a Penrose drain was placed. The pet owner was instructed to have the drain removed in 2 to 3 days. On July 2nd, 2024, complainant's friend made a follow-up appointment with respondent and reported that she could no longer see the drain. Staff advised that she could keep her previously scheduled appointment for July 12th, 2024. On July 12th, 2024, the dog was presented to respondent for a recheck and removed sutures and drain, if still present. Respondent evaluated the dog and removed the sutures, but did not see the drain to remove. Since the Elizabethan collar was not consistently worn by the dog, respondents suspected the dog had removed the drain herself. On August 6, 2024, the dog presented to an emergency facility due to discharge and an odor at the dog's bite site. The dog was sedated and the area was explored. A Penrose drain was identified within the swelling, encapsulated by granulation tissue, and was removed. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
Thank you. And let me double check here. Dr. Stoll, I'm giving you an MD or DVM. Yes, you're a JD, that's right. I should have known better. Mr. Stoll, you're representing the respondent?
Yes, monitoring only.
Okay, thank you. And no, we have no complainant present. Okie doke. And Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
Yes, thank you very much. So going through and seeing this, I mean, my big concern is that the drain is in there. It was missing according to the owner, and we didn't think to kind of assume that there was possibly still some drain left in there that was possibly chewed off or whatnot. It's kind of like it was almost ignored and just kind of moved on and said, we'll recheck you on the 12th. So I'm definitely a little concerned that we didn't have that 2 to 3 day recheck that could have kind of explored and see what was going on there. But whenever I have a drain that was missing, I assume that there's at least a piece stuck in there. So I'm concerned that that was left and just kind of pushed off to the side until the next recheck. I know this was based on the IC recommended for dismissal, but I'm a little concerned, and I have some more questions on this. I don't know if anybody else does.
Yeah, I agree. That was the original call that was made to the clinic. The drain's not there, and I can't find it. So we started there.
Yeah.
And then there was also a discussion with the respondent, the complaint in the room about where's this drain. I'm concerned it's gone, and mm-hmm. I'm concerned about that. The respondent thought it was just a simple check out the wound and take out the sutures, and it seemed to be the wound was doing okay at that point. There was no discharge instruction concerning what to do now, and the point I would make is it's simple. At this point, if you think there's a question, take a radiograph. Take a radiograph. You're going to know the drain's there, and you're going to have to go get it. So I agree, Dr. Wright. There's questions on how this happened, how that drain got left in there.
Any other
questions? Yeah, no, and thank you for those comments.
Go ahead, Dr. Wright.
I interrupted you, Madam Chair, but yeah, no, I just wanted to thank you for the comments. But yeah, if anybody else has any other thoughts, otherwise I make a motion to send this to an informal.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Just curious, who was beeping?
That was the door here. Okay. I apologize.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, there's a motion and a second to move case 2557 regarding veterinarian Dwight Benesch to an informal. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimous, 5-0. Okay, we are now at, 9:30 for the phone call. And to North Carolina. Yes.
Victoria from the Arizona Veterinary Board. How are you this morning?
Oh, hey.
Good.
I'm doing well.
Great. Well, we've got you on speakerphone. Could you pronounce your last name for us, please?
Prelo, Church and Prelo.
Thank you very much. That helps us. I'm going to turn you over to the board chair, Ms. Solomon. Thank you.
All right.
Yes. And we're going to put you on hold just for a second. We're going to conference in a couple of the board members who are appearing by phone. So you'll just hear a pause for a moment.
Okay.
I didn't write it down.
Hey, Dr. Wright, it's Kiefer. I'm just trying to conference everyone in.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm on the other line still, too. So if it rings back, we'll figure it out.
Okay, sorry.
So, you guys got just not hit conference.